Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to our show tonight on Thursday night, and I'm excited to be here. It's not often that you get to really see someone's life, you know, that has done a huge mind, body, and spirit living, and they've got it all connected, and they're a great athlete, they're a great... fortunate to have as a guest tonight on our show, Brian Mora, and he's got a wonderful story to share. And so and we're going to talk about talk to Brian. Brian, are you there? I'm glad you're here tonight. So welcome to our show. So we've got a lot of people all over the world at least.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Anyway, Brian, I tell you, I heard about your story, gosh, probably about a year ago, or maybe a little less, because I, you know, a friend of mine, Joel, you had met him. I know you're an athlete. He's an athlete. And you've got this great story about becoming, you know, helping, I'm going to leave it over to you, the Race for Chase. And how did you get started with that? And share a little bit about who you are. Because I think you say it better than I do.
Well, I appreciate that, and I appreciate the chance to you know, to share about our endeavor. And I truly say our endeavor because Race for Chase is not it's not my foundation and it's not my creation. It's actually something I've been welcomed into by Chase's family, who I'm really privileged to be able to talk about and share with your audience tonight. So just a little background on myself. I live in South Florida in the Fort Lauderdale area, and I have a full-time career as a financial services executive. I'm a husband and a proud father of a new five-month-old baby. And pretty much my upbringing was playing team sports. I played football and basketball and baseball. And as an adult, it's kind of hard, you know, with a full-time job and a family, it's hard to kind of maintain those athletic endeavors. And about 7 or 8 years ago, I took up running really more than anything as a hobby to stay in shape and, you know, to have some fun and keep my competitive juices flowing. And I guess maybe 6 or 7 years ago, I ran my first, what is referred to as a road race. I ran a 5K for charity. It's 3.1 miles. And without too long of a story, that basically grew into an interest of doing half marathons and full marathons. And I've had the great privilege of running some of the nation's biggest marathons. I ran Boston in 2010 and ran the New York City Marathon last year. And in December of 2012, I'm sure everybody listening will remember, you know, frankly, a national tragedy for us as a country, the Sandy Hook school shooting in Connecticut happened in December of 2012, and we lost 20 small children and six adults, six teachers, that morning. Shortly after the tragedy, I actually received an article that was detailing one of the families who lost their son, and their son's name was Chase Kolowski. And Chase, at just literally 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 years old, was competing in his town, in his community, in 5K road races. And he went to his mom and dad and said, "Hey, I want to do a triathlon," and rode his bike with training wheels and swam in a lake near his house. And the story resonated with me. He was a little me. And I just said, "Wow, what an unfortunate tragedy the shooting was." And you know, the Kolowski family story really tugged at my heartstrings even more than the other stories that I heard. And so, as I read the article, it directed me and directed anyone who read it to the scholarship fund that was set up in Chase's honor. So, really, the beginning of my Race for Chase journey was reading that article and going online just to learn a little bit more about what the family had planned for his memory and for his honor. I guess the last part of that story that got me into everything that's happened in sort of the last 18 months is that I noticed on the website that there was at least an initial idea constructed that would be called Race for Chase, which was for other athletes, you know, people like myself and so many of your listeners and people in the community run for their health and cycle for their health, et cetera. Was a way for us to remember Chase through our own athletic endeavors. And that really spoke to me. And I said, I think I can do something with this, and I think I can make a difference and be really motivated to turn, which is the mission of Chase's Foundation, is to turn tragedy into triumph. I said, I think I can really help help that from a grassroots basis and help them to spearhead their cause and turn something hopefully very positive into what was just a completely needless and senseless tragedy.
Let me ask you a question. And I, you know, I've read your story, and you said it so well. And the first time I had the opportunity to chat with you, the first race that you ran, you organized it, and I know there was a story of a little boy that ran with you, and it was a full marathon, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, 26.2 miles, and you ran it. Can you share a little bit with everybody about that, how it started taking, you know, growing into what it is now, and some of the organizations that have been created out of Race for Chase?
Yeah, thanks for asking that. So literally within just a couple of weeks of the school shooting, one of the local South Florida running clubs wanted to host an event in remembrance of the victims, and they essentially rented some space at a local school and encouraged people to come out either as individuals or as teams to run 1 mile for each one of the individuals that we lost that day. So it turns out that it was an interesting symmetry between, you know, 26 individuals that we were looking to honor and remember, and that being the exact distance of a marathon. A marathon is 26.2 miles. And so you could do it however you wanted. One person could run 26. You could get 26 people as a team, and every person runs a mile. And so I asked just a few friends of mine to come out, and we would run 26 miles. And one of my neighbors and friends, Rebecca Bratter, her and her 7-year-old son, Logan, decided to join my team and came. And Logan, you know, of a very similar age of Chase and his classmates, that was the coolest part of that day, was seeing him run the 3 miles that he ran as one of the legs of our team. But that truly was, Jerry, that was the first race, if you will, or the first athletic endeavor that began my Race for Chase journey back in December of 2012, that over the course of last year ended up being 18 additional races for almost 400 miles that I put in last year, just on the racing, let alone the training, to try to raise and honor Chase and his family.
You ran 18 races, and how many miles did you log doing the races? Because I think that was interesting right there, that fact.
Yeah, I have no idea how many miles I trained. I mean, you could probably ask my wife, and she would tell you too many. But the actual races were, there were 18 different races, mostly triathlons. There was one 70.3 distance Ironman, and one marathon, which was the New York City Marathon. There's an interesting story about that as well. But the total miles raced came to just under 400. It was about 390 miles.
Yeah, I'm looking at that now. Yeah, 391. So, yeah, you really, really did a lot of running, man. And let me ask you a question, and this is important, I feel. What motivates you to run? Before Chase, was it different than after the Race for Chase? Or have you always been the type of person that has ran for charities? Because you said your first 5K you did. But what motivates you to run and pursue this goal? Do you mind me asking that?
No, it's an interesting question. I would definitely tell you that the Chase changed why I run. I would say that anybody who knows me, and I know I have some friends and family listening, they'll tell you that I'm one of the most competitive people that they know in general, whether it's in business or a game of basketball in the neighborhood, whatever it may be. I'm an extremely competitive person. So I think what led me to running in the first place was competing, frankly, with myself, competing for time, competing for place, and then competing with the other athletes that are out there. And Chase brought an entirely different endeavor of competition for me, which was, I have a good friend, her name is Charlie, and she's actually one of the introducing parties for me with Chase's family, and she talks about this concept of big, bigger, and biggest, which is a really fascinating concept. It's when you set yourself a goal, you know, usually that's the category of big, and then thinking about what would happen if it became even bigger than what you initially set, and then even bigger than that. And Chase set me on in a completely different path of competition, which wasn't about how fast I ran or what place I finished in, but really how many people could hear his story and how many people could I help be inspired by not by me And that's the interesting part about this, and I appreciate you saying that my story is inspirational. It's really Chase's story and who he was at just 6 years old that's inspirational. He inspired me. So my cause for last year and this year with my athletic endeavors is how do we actually get get the word out about who he was and about who his family was, and what a special person he was in just a short time on the planet.
That's cool. I like how you said that. So you've been able to run all these races, and it's changed. Instead of just being about your competing with yourself, you do it for a bigger cause, bigger and biggest. Is that right? That's cool. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. I gotta remember that because I want Angel Coaches to be a part of it, and we're gonna talk about that too in just a bit. So, you've met his family, and talk about a few inspirational things that have happened to you out of this, like you just did. That was really cool, and thank you for sharing that because it seems so open, and you could take a look at your why. But what other inspirational things have happened to you since you started Race for Chase? You know, yourself and other friends and athletes of yours.
Yeah, absolutely. So, one of the really cool parts about last year and one of the most impactful for me by far was when I first had the chance to meet Chase's family. So in case anybody was wondering, did I know Chase's family or did I know friends of his, and was he somebody who I personally know? That's the interesting thing that, myself and many of my friends talk about is that, a little boy who I never met changed my life, One of the most impactful parts last year was when I finally had a chance to meet Chase's family, and it was kind of a convergence of two different things that took place in the Northeast United States that brought us together. So back in, 2011, there was a very strong and devastating storm that hit the Northeast, in particular the New Jersey and New York area. It was called Superstorm Sandy. And it wiped away along the shoreline, along the beach line. It wiped away many beaches and parks and playgrounds that children had a chance to enjoy in their communities. And the New Jersey Firefighters Benevolent Association decided that one of the things that they would do in raising money and using money was to rebuild playgrounds all across the Northeast in the impacted areas, New Jersey, New York, Connecticut. And they would combine what happened with the Superstorm, which was tragic in and of itself, with honoring the victims of the Sandy Hook school shooting. And so over the last 2 years, they have literally been rebuilding playgrounds in different communities over a 2 to 3 day period is how long it takes to build one of these playgrounds with an enormous team of volunteers. And then at the end of the 2 to 3 day build, they do a dedication ceremony specifically for one of the 26 victims. And so in August of last year, in Normandy Beach, New Jersey, they built the playground that is in memory and in honor of Chase. And Chase's family was nice enough to invite me to be part of the build and be part of the dedication. And that was when I first had a chance to meet Steve and Rebecca and their daughters, Brittany and Erin. And we spent some time while the playground was being built, getting to know each other and dedicating the playground. It was a really special event. My parents came, and Charlie, who I mentioned before, she came, and a good friend of mine, Fred, who's actually battling cancer right now, and I want to tell him, I think he's listening, to get well soon. He came, and so it became just like an extension of family for me, and bringing friends and my family together. And there were two really special things that happened there, Tori. I was able to actually give all of my race medals that I had acquired last year. I gave them to Rebecca, and that meant a lot to her. She said that Chase was always focused on getting trophies and medals, and that was really important to me. I didn't know that he wanted that so badly or that it would mean so much to her, but I felt like Chase had helped to earn those medals, and they needed to happen as a family. And she gave me a really special bracelet that they have just for their closest friends and family members, and I really cherish that. So that was one of the most special moments of last year for me, was when I first got to meet them and have that exchange and really become, what I consider connected to my family.
I like that story. When you told it to me and then I read it again, I was like, wow, it made me cry, so what a great story. Thank you for sharing that and being so open with us again. Let me ask you a question, and I'm getting somebody that's texting me this. you know, they want to get started and get their family started. And you and I talked about this right before the show. How would you do that? Like, if you want to get started running and you want to do it for charity, how would you do that? If somebody was just starting to run, for instance, you've been running and been an athlete all your life, and they'd like to get their family involved, and how would they start? Do you have a suggestion? Because you're doing it,
yeah.
And I know you've got a... You know?
Yeah. So it's kind of crazy because I actually get that question a lot from friends or from colleagues because they just assume because you can do something like let's just take a marathon as an example. It's just one individual event. They assume that, well, he can go out and run 26 miles, that I've just been able to do that forever. And the reality is, when I reflect back on that first 5K that I did, that five kilometers, which is 3.1 miles, that first 5K that I did, I needed to train for that. I couldn't run 3 miles without stopping, and that's okay. So my advice would actually be, how do you get started? You start by walking, and I don't mean that sarcastically. I mean it for real. You start by walking, and you run, and my advice would be you run for as long as you can without stopping, and that literally might be 30 seconds. It might be a minute. It could be 2 minutes. But you find out what your baseline is. Okay, I can run for a minute without stopping. I now know that that's my goal to beat. And the next time that you stop to walk a little, and the next time you start to run, can you run for a minute and 10 seconds? And it might take many days or weeks to be able to increase that time. It's not going to happen that you run 1 minute right now and rest, and then you can instantly run a minute and 10 seconds or for 5 minutes. But it's literally like any other goal that you have to take. It's a cliche, but you take baby steps. And that's how you do it. And so getting to literally a half marathon or a marathon is no different. Part of the training is, continuing to, once you can run 5 miles, then you say, can I run 6 and can you run 7? And you're just building on top of, one step to the next. Now, I think the second part of the question was, how would you go about doing that for charity? I think that question gets answered a little bit with a question back, which is it a charity that already exists that you know about, that you have an affinity for or have a place in your heart for? And if that's the case, what you'll find is that almost all charities have a walk or a run dedicated to them because it's such a popular, feel-good, camaraderie-building strategy to raise money and build community.
Right.
So whether it's cancer or autism or diabetes, they have walks and runs for all of these things. If it's something so specific and unique as to a tragedy that impacted your family, you may actually have to start the process. And so there's significant credit to friends and family of Chase's family. Some of the folks that I've come to know and consider friends, like Kevin Grimes and Greg Rule, these were just friends of Chase's family, of Steve and Becky. And they're the ones that help put the charity together and file for 501c3 tax status. So there's a lot to be done there if your goal is to start a charity from scratch. But, when you have a passion and a mission for it, it's all worthwhile.
Thank you. Great answer, by the way. There's somebody in the web who says her and her husband and their two little girls, they run for MS MS, and they started because it hit their family. So they have passion about the run and the 5K runs that they do together as a family. How cool is that? So she goes, she's like, yay, he's right. It's like, so you have a supporter there, which we'll talk about.
Funny. Yeah, MS in particular. We're only talking about running, and there's other disciplines, things. When you mentioned MS, it made me think about cycling because I think that of all the different, illnesses, injuries, diseases that are out there, MS is one of the most significant, and I think that one of the biggest charitable endeavors for MS is cycling. So to that listener, keep running, but they may also want to look at if they want to join an already existing cause. I think that there's fairly significant MS rides around the country, and you don't have to be a 100-mile cyclist or anything crazy. It could be, 5 or 10 miles on your bike, and that'd be pretty cool, too.
I like that. Yeah, you're right. So you know, I know you're a great athlete, and you've found a passion. You know, your passion is being athletic and participating in races, and then you found another passion. You combine it with Race for Chase, you know, that you participate in as well. But you told me something, and I think it's so cool that because it gave me. I after I talked to you, I was able to go find somebody to teach me, and then I'm looking on YouTube as well. And my coach is working with me tomorrow, actually. But you had to learn how to swim to do the triathlons, which some of the triathlons I think you did in 2013, where you raised funds and raised awareness for Race for Chase. And so can you share with us how you learned how to swim, because you knew how to swim until, and how you learned how to swim, so you started a new endeavor on top of what you were already doing?
Yeah, so I guess under the headline of you're never too old to learn something new, first of all, Tori, I found out that I needed to learn how to swim by attempting my first triathlon and having the lifeguards fish me out of Biscayne Bay in Miami, Florida. Aww. So, and that's a true story. So, a good friend of mine, Aww. Tom, dared me to do an Ironman, and I bit off a little bit more than I could chew as I showed up for race day, not actually being a trained and professional swimmer. And I jumped into the water and began to swim. And about halfway through the journey, I realized that I had to either call the lifeguard or I was going to drown. So that's when I first realized I needed to learn how to swim. But the method of actually how I did it, all kidding aside, is I think it's great that you hired a coach. And I probably could have cut my time down if I had done that. But I watched YouTube videos, and I told her I would take my phone to the pool. I went to the gym and I watched videos on techniques of how to swim properly, and I practiced it, and it was ugly and painful and challenging, and I think whoever asked the question about how do you get started with running, that's exactly how I was with swimming. So many of you grew up, you know, swimming and took swim lessons. I knew how to swim. I mean, I could get in a swimming pool and not drown, but I never took specific training to do a distance swim of a mile or two. Which right. is what an Ironman entails. So I practiced for a year before attempting the race again, and I went right back to the scene of the crime and got back in the water in Biscayne Bay and completed that race 1 year later. So it was obviously a proud moment for me, but a tremendous learning experience. I think with running, if you're tired, you can just slow down and walk. And when you're swimming, it's not as easy of a scenario. So make sure you're prepared would be my advice for everybody before you get out there.
I appreciate you being so honest and open. I had no idea that you almost drowned. I was like, you're laughing at that's a challenge right there, you know. So I'm sorry, but you know what I see is that this guy who's on the show with me, you know, we all have our strengths, and you had enough guts to say, hey, I need to be picked up here, so you know, and come and get me. And that's cool. I appreciate that you sharing that with us too as well. my next question to you is, I know that you guys have been a part of raising funds and with your athletic, with your races. And how much did you raise for the Race for Chase? And can you tell us a little bit about the organization?
Yeah. So. Yeah, absolutely. I really appreciate it. So the official name of the organization is it's a long name, but every word in it is carefully chosen and very important. It's the Chase Michael Anthony Kolowski Sandy Hook Memorial Foundation. And the vision of the foundation, it's actually evolved quite a bit from, what the family, what Becky and Steve initially thought and friends of the family initially thought. But the vision is to turn tragedy into triumph by healing and strengthening our families and our communities. And, to your point, Suri, I had a very, very giving base of friends and family and neighbors and coworkers last year, and over the course of my races, I mean, some people literally chose to donate money for every mile I raced. They said, I'll give you $1 for every mile or $10 for every mile. And some people just made an individual single one-time donation, all of which mean the same and are equally appreciated. We raised $33,000, almost $32,700 over the course of 2013. And really one of the coolest partnerships that's come of that. So some people, are very philanthropically inclined, but they also want to know, what's the money going to go for? Is the money going to build something? Is it being given away for scholarships? What is it being used for? And there's a variety of things that I think the money will ultimately be used for, but one of the coolest partnerships that CMAK has been able to form is with the YMCA in Connecticut to really have some room dedicated in the YMCA to family healing and to family connectivity that will be called Chase's Place. And part of what will also be done in partnership with the YMCA in Connecticut is to teach kids to be triathletes like Trace, like Chase was and wanted to be. And so they'll provide bicycles for the children, and they'll teach them how to swim so that when they're in their 30s, they don't get fished out of the water like me. And they'll teach them proper running techniques. So through the help of some great friends of the family, CMAK is now an approved an official 501c3. And you can find the organization either by googling Chase Kowalski. It's also at ChaseKowalskiFund.com. And my personal giving page you can find just by Googling. It's all done through First Giving. You could Google First Giving with my name, Brian Mora, M-O-R-A. And for those on social media, Chase has a Facebook page. You can just look, search for Chase Kowalski. And if you're on Twitter, it's at Chase Kowalski MF on Twitter. So a number of different outlets to be able to find Chase and keep him alive in our memories and our spirit.
I like that. And and by the way, you guys that are listening, I'm going to post it on the Angel Coach's Facebook page, the way to donate if you'd like. Okay, so you have a baby, and how old is your baby? And Iron Man Mora, what's the story there? Iron Man Baby Mora, right? Is that a story?
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. So Iron Baby is 5 months old on this coming Monday. His name is Grayson, and Grayson did his first 5K on Memorial Day. So there's was a local 5K in Weston, Florida, and I registered him instead of myself, and he went for a ride in the jogging stroller and finished second in his age group. I don't know how that happened. So. 0 years old, and he finished second in his age group. But, yeah, so thanks for asking. Yeah, he's 5 months old on Monday, and, it'll be okay if he's an artist, but we're hopeful that he's an athlete.
Well, that's two A's, athlete and an artist. There you go, if you, whatever works, And that's cool because it goes back to what you're really you're supporting. It's all about the family, and it's all about, a shared idea. I feel this with all my heart, that a shared idea gives it power. And you're doing that with your son. You're doing that with your racing, and you're teaching others how to do the same. That's great, Brian. My question, I'm getting to the end of the session here, and I'm going to ask you if you have anything you want to share, is what is your goal for the next rest of this year? Are you racing? Do you have any goals to work with Race for Chase and or any other organizations? Can you give us a little bit of insight about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm definitely going to continue to race this year, not nearly at the pace and volume of last year, just for a couple of different reasons. I had an injury towards the end of last year with all the mileage and the wear and tear I put on my body, but it was all really, really worth it. I enjoyed every race and had just a tremendous time doing it. But with the baby this year and just wanting to heal up and get back to good health physically, dialing the racing back a little bit. But, yeah, there's still a plan to do some races. I've raced 3 or 4 times this year already, and each one of those, it's actually really cool. One of the things I didn't mention is through the great support of Becky and Steve and the Race for Chase charity, they allowed me the opportunity to work with a triathlon clothing company and actually kind of design personalized triathlon gear that would display the Race for Chase logo and help us promote the charity through each one of the races. And I think that's, Joel, our mutual friend that introduced us, I think that's actually what can just ask me about what is Race for Chase? I see this on your clothing. What is it? And it's been an amazing conversation starter with so many people at races to be able to tell the story and guide them to the website and have them learn more about Chase. So it's an important commitment for me this year, and I have to really appreciate my wife Judy for allowing me to still get a little bit of sleep and do some training and not completely give up on my physical endeavors and my personal passion for Race for Chase. So I'm racing again July 4th, and so I'll be out there with my Race for Chase gear on and telling the South Florida community about our little Superman.
Oh, I really appreciate that. I have somebody that has a question, and I didn't ask you but may she ask her question? I know she's an athlete herself. Would that be okay if she asks you a question? Are you cool with that?
Absolutely, so, sure.
Okay, hold on. I think this is who I feel it is, but we'll see in just a second. I feel like you guys have savvy. It looks like if you're wearing it, you're a good athlete. So anyway, on myself very soon, and the next 6 months, I've got to learn how to swim first. Okay. Hi, this is Tari. Are you there? Hello? Hi, Kimberly. I think it's Kimberly.
Oh, hi, Tari.
Yeah.
Yes, hello.
Hi, Annie. Yeah, can you hear us?
Barely.
Okay. So we can hear you. What's your question?
No question. I hit one by accident. I'm just enjoying listening to this. It's fantastic.
Yeah, he's wonderful. He's amazing, isn't he? With his, you make it seem so easy and real. You know what I mean? I know Kim's a bicyclist too, as well. Anybody can get started. Just participating in charities, participating with Race for Chase. All they've got to do is sign up and get going. Is there anything else you want to share with us, Brian, before we close the call tonight?
No, I would just say thanks for giving us an opportunity. It means a tremendous amount. That this is one of my very good friends and coworkers reminded me. We're all doing something that feels great for something that we wish we never had to do. And so I try to remember every day that we've gotten recognition for the grassroots effort of Race for Chase. Nothing will ever do justice to the tragedy that happened. But I do know that one of the first articles I read, Chase came to Becky, his mom, in a vision just 2 days after the tragedy, and said that the purpose of his life was to give us this platform to raise money and raise awareness and get better codes for buildings and potentially stricter gun control and things along those lines, so that these types of tragedies in our country stop happening unnecessarily. So, and frankly, all around the world, I know that this is a global program, and I'm sure that they're not as well publicized in the United States, but these things probably happen around the world as well. So I just want to say thanks for the opportunity to share our story and to continue to remember Chase.
Okay. I appreciate it. One more time, share the name of the organization if they can donate. And I'm going to post it. And how to donate, to participate in Race for Chase and make a difference. So we'll share with
you
more time.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, go please. So go ahead and share with us one more time, if you don't mind.
One more time. Yeah, so it's Chase Kowalski Fund, ChaseKowalski Fund.com, or you can Google First Giving with my name, Brian Mora, to donate directly to my page.
Okay, cool. Anyway, by the way, I have a couple more questions. I think I'm going to start this one. There's a 201 here, and maybe somebody, I don't know. So if you have a minute or two as I'm letting this person talk. Hi, you have a question for Brian?
Yes, Brian talked about big, bigger, and biggest when it comes to the efforts for the Chase Kowalski Fund, and I think that almost $33,000 would be considered big. I was wondering what his thoughts were on what the potential for the bigger and the biggest would be for the efforts for the Chase Kowalski Fund that he's taking.
That's a great question. I don't actually think that, and I guess I could answer that two ways. I think that it's easy to say, well, we've raised $30,000 or so dollars, so bigger and biggest are just incrementally larger numbers. You know, bigger could be 50 and biggest could be 100. I think that's one way to think about, you know, not setting your sights or your limits too low. I actually think that given the significant impact, you know, and Sandy Hook was so well publicized, unfortunately, because of the number of people, but there's smaller instances like this in our country where one person is injured or one person is lost. And, you know, it doesn't make a difference if it's one or it's 26. It's still a significant deal. So I think the bigger and the biggest, and I wouldn't speak for Chase's family or for the foundation in saying this, just for myself, is that, you know, causes like this get much larger national attention and have, you know, the support of some of the richest entities in our country, like corporations, and have the money pour in and the sponsorships pour in from that side of things. So I think for me personally, you know, I'm one person living in a community in South Florida. I'll continue towards $50,000 and $100,000 raised, but I think to truly capture the biggest, this has to become much bigger, no pun intended, in terms of the governmental and the corporate support for organizations like this that are specifically trying to end needless tragedies. Cancer is a tragedy. We're working to fix that. MS tragedy, working to fix that. This is one that is truly can be curbed and prevented without the miracle of medicine or anything like that. So it's a great question, but that's how I would think about it.
Well, thank you. I'm so sorry you lost me for a second, but Brian, you were wonderful and great question to the gentleman that just asked it. But working together, we can all make a difference, and I agree with you on what you were saying. All right, everybody, it's been a wonderful time having you on the air. I so appreciate you taking time out of your evening. I know that you've got your family at home, and you guys have a great now. And our next show's on Sunday, where we talk about relationships and we promote our book. You mean there's a law that says he has to be attracted to me. That's not only for girls, but it is for guys too. So, but Brian, we want to have you back on again, and Angel Coaches wants to help any way we possibly can, and you've given us some ways that we can do it already. And you guys have a great night, and we will see you on Sunday. Bye, everybody.
Thanks, Sheree. See ya.